You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek Unlimited.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this adventure into geekdom is TFG1
Mike. TFG1
Mike. Yo.
That's right, that's me.
Yes, yo. That is him. Yo-ho. All right.
I left my bottle of rum down the street. Yeah. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. So, multitude of things going on in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, well, it's due to COVID, but it's not. Going to be talked about in that.
Okay, so since we've already covered COVID, novel coronavirus, whatever the hell, can we talk about how realistically scary as hell and disgusting murder spiders are?
Murder spiders. Are you talking about the bees or the hornets?
The murder hornets. That's what it is.
The 2-inch long
spider.
The killer
murder hornets. Yeah.
They're Asian killer hornets.
Oh my god! It just okay. So I get tired of stuff very easily when it's constantly thrown in my face. If I don't see one more murder hornet story, I'll be perfectly happy because, yes, while I understand it is a very legitimate, scary thing, and it is real, constantly seeing the image, like the featured image stuff on Facebook with posts, it's like, oh, God, that's creepy as hell. That's almost creepier than tarantulas. And you know how creepy I find tarantulas. Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Damn, no more three-way tie.
I threw it away.
Somebody else. Oh.
What? Three-way tie?
Yes.
What happened?
So, a day ago, you on the Altered Geek Twitter put up a poll. What should we discuss on the show this week? Something nostalgic, a TV program, opinion topic by you, or a franchise? The last time I checked this, before we recorded this episode, Something Nostalgic, a TV program, and a franchise were all in a three-way tie at 33% each. Now it's 50-25-25. Nobody wants to hear our opinions, even if they choose to have us.
Does it count if even the last voter was me?
No, it shouldn't. Damn it.
But then again, like
I voted too.
It.
Yeah. To break the monotony of it all.
Yes. You know. Because, you know, it's funny.
Well, what's funny about it is the fact that you picked the options you made here, something nostalgic, a TV program, and a franchise. I've been doing a lot of franchise watching this year. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I might have mentioned it last week, but I repeat myself often, folks, so I don't remember half the time when I say stuff. I've watched Fast and the Furious, all 8 of them. I have not seen Hobbs and Shaw yet, but I watched all 8 of the main movies. I went through all the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so that's a franchise. I've seen the John Wick films now like 3 times because they are so good, but because I like them and I wanted to get Karen into them to see if she would like them. She enjoys them. I figured she would. So I've been doing a lot of franchise stuff this year, but I've also been doing, and it's not really nostalgia because the show came out in what, 2011, 2012. I mean, yeah, okay. It's a number of years old, but this will actually tie into what you're going to say a little bit later, or you can bring it up after I mention this. Something nostalgic in a TV program. I have not watched The Blacklist since the end of season 3, beginning of season 4, right around the time when they did the spinoff Redemption for Tom Keen.
That fizzled out.
Right. And it only had one season. And it's not that I didn't like the show enough to keep up with it. I find it excruciatingly difficult to keep up with live television, whether I DVR it or not. And I have to have something like Netflix or Netflix itself or Hulu or Amazon Prime or insert whatever your favorite streaming service is here. I have to have something like that so I can binge it all at once. As of this recording, in 3 days' time, I have finished the first season of The Blacklist. I am now on to season two of the show. I believe Netflix has five or six of these seven seasons, because they're just about to finish season seven. And that will tie into your press release that we got for GeekCastRadio.com.
Well, they also, I think they do have all six seasons, because I caught up on it on there because I got tired of watching it week to week. So I just stopped watching it during season five, and then I just blitzed it. But
right.
And also, part of the storyline was just irritating me, so I kind of quit for a while and had to go back to it. I mean, I genuinely enjoy the show. It's just some of it gets to be a little long in the tooth. So we got a press release and it said, alert, NBC's The Blacklist announces hybrid live action graphic novel style animation in season seven finale episode. And I was like, because it's draws on animation to thwart virus shutdown. And the funny thing is it says, airing May 15th is ending the season in style with a unique hybrid of live action and graphic novel style animation. The season's 19th episode, entitled The Kazanjian Brothers, was midway into filming in New York when TV productions across the country were halted due to COVID. Looking to do something out of the box to finish the episode and close out the season, producers came up with an idea to add graphic novel style animation that would incorporate with the already filmed live action series. The cast members recorded dialogue from their homes for the animated scenes to ensure a seamless transition between the two styles as editors and animators complete their work remotely. Episode logline: the task force investigates an accountant who works for lucrative criminals in order to find the violent and thuggish brothers hired for his protection. Liz must make a momentous decision. Presented in a unique hybrid blah blah blah, guest starring Brian Dennehy and Layla Robbins, which Dennehy's now passed away.
Just recently passed away,
NBC announced in February that The Blacklist has been renewed for an eighth season. The 150th episode of the series will air May 8th. This is The Blacklist, of course, stars James Spader and multitude of other people. Just looking at the graphics that were in this release, I thought it was pretty neat. It's almost got like that pop art type of look to it, but it's more detailed and it's kind of neat, to be honest. I don't know. I'm kind of stoked to see what they do with it, because, it's out of the box, and this kind of leads me to the other, discussion of that I brought up, on Facebook about, so what do you guys think about shows that are still going on but only using Zoom? Do you think that they still have any merit or quality? And what are your opinions of the shows that are still continuing to go on despite COVID? Do you think that they should stop, or do you think that they should still continue and give new content even if it is not up to the same quality? Now, this is rather inventive, and I look forward to seeing how this plays out and how well it works, because I think that this could be not only something that helps with their payday and helps with, the innovation and likelihood of future series and just likelihood of just other avenues of using this in media. But I also, I tried watching SNL where they were a Zoom. It was the most terrible thing I had ever seen. It made their show like, and I'm not knocking the actors, because like they don't have their full writing staff. They're writing it all themselves. They don't have, and I'm sure that they'd have Zoom meetings to talk about it, but it's still not the same. And they have some of their costumes that they wore. Kenan Thompson, for instance, has a lot of his stuff. Some of the stuff is pretty lame. Some of it's edited pretty decently. Some of it's not. It's the quality's all over the place, and I get that when they're trying to make fun of certain things, when they're actually recording a regular show, but the way that this comes across, it's just, honestly, it's just awful. Like, there's another show that's doing something similar where they're having everything read and portrayed over a Zoom call. And I think, honestly, that I would rather wait and have it done properly than have it look like that.
For some things, I agree. Like, news broadcasts, you can report the news from anywhere. Look at us. I mean, not that we report a lot of news, but just
make sure you're wearing pants.
Whether I'm wearing pants or not. Anyway.
No, I'm saying don't do a video call without wearing pants. There was an ABC News guy that did that.
Yep.
Christopher Reeve's son.
Mm-hmm. Something like SNL. See, for me, I am, other than the Eddie Murphy episode and other than the beginning of the most recent, which was Brad Pitt as Dr. Fauci, whatever his name is. Other than that, I'm not really watching SNL anymore. I did try to watch the at-home show, and I thought the idea and the concept was kind of cool for SNL to try, but overall, it's not something I would be watching again, probably.
Yeah, I was a little disturbed by how it appeared, and honestly, I would probably never watch another show like that again with that type of quality or lack thereof. So
my the TV thing is, how are you going to do scripted shows? Like, say, for example, The Flash. Well, my answer is now in our press release that we got. You could have it, you know, have them do it animated. You know, you could do it that way if you wanted to finish out the season, that kind of thing. But for me, I'm going back and watching shows that I haven't seen in a while or catching up on shows that I missed other seasons of. Like, I haven't seen the very first, you know, the pilot episode of NCIS since, I think, maybe 2009 or so. Obviously, I saw it when it debuted in 2003, but I just haven't gone back to watch it. But luckily with Netflix, all 15 of the X number of however many seasons they're up to now are on Netflix. Same thing with The Blacklist. I'm going back and rediscovering that show because I only watched up to a certain point. And we have 50 or more plus years of television that we could always, like, Karen and I were, I have a remote thing with Xfinity. Everybody does. It's a remote app that you can use on your phone to control your TV.
Mm-hmm.
I was going through the channels and I'm like, ooh, this channel is showing Archie Bunker. You know, it's showing All in the Family. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. We'll watch an episode of this. It was one of those classic TV channels, whatever. I haven't seen Archie Bunker on a TV screen in since I was probably a kid in the 80s kind of thing.
And that's not counting the version that they have.
No, that's that not live counting version. The ABC. Yeah, that's not counting live in front of a studio audience. I'm saying the original All in the Family program from the 70s and 80s. You know, I just find myself that, and I've been doing this a lot more lately, even before the current world that we live in happened. I just find myself watching older shows more than trying the new thing that might not last.
Yeah. Kind of. And I get it. I've been, for the most part, like, I mean, I thought about going back and starting over with The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the sake of it. Like, I honestly thought about it. The only thing is I don't know if I really want to. with a lot of shows, like, I have this problem, and yes, I remember majority of what I watch.
Right.
Which, again, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. But that aside, I don't really revisit a lot of shows unless I genuinely love, like, the entire thing or, like, 90% of it, which, right, honestly, Star Trek is about the only thing that I go back and watch like crazy. Like I've dabbled in Beast Wars here and there in the last year. I've dabbled in, you know, BTAS, Batman Beyond, some of the other shows. But I mean, I've been trying some new shows like Andromeda and some other stuff, but
for the shows, folks, he means new shows to him that he has not seen before that have been out for, you know.
Well, Andromeda's been out forever ago, but what's funny is Discovery Season 3 is basically Andromeda.
Oh, jeez.
The funny thing is Andromeda was written by Gene Roddenberry.
Right, I remember.
Years and years and years ago, and then his wife turned it into a series in 2005, right around the time Enterprise was getting canned. And she pitched it to Sci-Fi, and it looks like a Sci-Fi show. But, you know, the concept is being recycled for Discovery, which, honestly, I could see happening because their son, Eugene Roddenberry, owns all of the rights to everything. So, I can definitely see that. But, honestly, like, I don't... some of these shows, like I don't have a problem starting a new one, for instance, like Picard or, you know, a Star Trek related show or, you know, the occasional other show that's not even remotely related. I've actually dropped the only superhero shows I watch since Arrow retired The Flash and Legends. I dropped Batgirl. I dropped Supergirl. Like I have no interest in those anymore. I quit watching Black Lightning like after the first season. I really don't watch. I've kind of cut down on what I watch, and a lot of the shows I watch, they either still ongoing or they've met a natural end. And so I've just not been picking up new shows where I have to follow week to week, and it's been a lot easier to follow them on streaming where it's already there. All I have to do is blitz it.
Yep.
Now, if it's a one season and it was canceled, I try and shy away from those. Not because it's not a good show, but because I'm not going to get invested for something that gets canceled.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a natural end to it.
I've gotten suckered by those shows sometimes, and I still love certain shows like that. You take the very short-lived, sadly, because it was a really cool, interesting premise, at least in my mind it was. There's three shows that Fox had done over the years. 2007, they had a six-episode series called Drive with Nathan Fillion and a bunch of other people. APB, which was 2017, only got one season. And for me, the other one would be, oh God, I just lost it. Fox, damn it. I don't know. But, like, shows like that, like, APB ended to the point where it was kind of satisfying, but you wanted it to continue because they kind of ended it on a cliffhanger. But they led you into something that could happen versus, you know, something like Firefly, which I've only ever heard people bitch about. I think I've seen, like, the first episode of Firefly. I've never actually watched the whole series, so I'm not going to say anything about the series itself. But I've heard that the ending to Firefly, because it got canceled or whatever, people were just completely off their rocker about it not coming back. Hell, you look at, you know, comedy television, you look at The Big Bang Theory and Sheldon and his rant about Alpha's ending on Sci-Fi without a satisfying ending. There are just certain shows that, sadly, if they don't perform well, they won't continue. And sometimes I feel that they've ended okay, and other times, not so much. Back when, now this was 2 years ago, sadly, I wish I could have done more of this. Our good buddy from Simplistic Reviews, Mr. DJ Valentine, and I started up a Summer of Superheroes series of episodes over on Remote Control here at the GCRN. And episodes 42 and 43 were dedicated to Arrow Season 1 and 2, and then The Flash Season 1 and Arrow Season 3. Because what I was doing was watching them in continuity order of when they happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm combining them that way. I hope we can get back to that at some point. I don't know when, but yeah, I remember when I watched The Flash season 1 and 2. It, when I went back to watch it on Netflix, it was kind of difficult because I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, it's kind of like pulled a U. Oh yeah, I remember that. This is when this happened. This is when that happened. Season 2 was a little bit better than season 1 because season 2 is where the whole Zoom Jay Garrick original, not original, but you know, the Jay Garrick line kind of mm-hmm. happened. So,
yep.
You know, that was kind of cool. I don't know. I just find myself going back to other, like, all right, perfect example. I already talked about the fact that I'm going back and watching The Blacklist, and Karen and I might watch more NCIS, or I might watch it by myself. I don't know. I've also gone back and watched through the first full season and part of the second season of Fox's Lethal Weapon. Don't ask me why, I don't know, but I felt like I needed to binge it because I needed something different. Because I've watched another one of my favorite shows, Numbers, with Judd Hirsch and David Krumholtz, another. I've watched that I've watched that entire series over and over and over again on Hulu. So, trying to go back and finding other things.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of shows that I've watched over the years, and some of them, like, I've heard of, some of them I don't care. Like, it's very hard for me to want to pick up a new show.
Mm-hmm.
Of some kind, or not even new, just, like, something that has been out.
Yeah, and I completely understand that, but... And I get it. I'm the same way. There are plenty of, like, okay, I just opened Netflix on my phone. First thing that pops up for me is Marvel's Agents of Shit. I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., sorry. I have zero interest in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've watched the first, I think, 5 episodes of the first season, and our good buddy... And even, you know, the co-creator of this podcast, Booth Ninja Mike Powers, said, as long as you give it 5 episodes, you gave it a good try. And I just can't do with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Just, no. It's just not my thing, and, you know. So I get it about, you know, older shows not being, you know, your thing, or you wanting to start them. The good thing is with the older shows, you don't have to keep track of them. If you, all right, perfect example, and I know this is silly because I love both of these series, and I think you might like both of them. I know you at least like one of them. Power Rangers Dino Thunder and Power Rangers Time Force. I love both of these series. I can rewatch these series at any point in time, and I know that those are done. Those have been done for years now, kind of thing. You know, so it's one of those things where it's up to you what you want to choose to watch. Take Person of Interest. I think I've rewatched that series, like, much like Numbers. I think I've seen it like 4 times now. Just because I find it so interesting and refreshing to go back to something that's already there in full that I can watch however many seasons it had without having to worry. Yes, there is something to the value of actually watching it on television or next day on streaming as far as keeping up with it. But in general, I'm like, I want to binge, dag nabbit. There, yeah. I recovered from the S-bomb.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, you know, you, in that instance, would choose shows that, you know, you've thought about in the past and, you know, wouldn't mind going back to, or you know, wouldn't mind watching in general. I personally, like I said, I don't go much for that often. But I think this kind of leads nicely into another topic that we had, and it was brought up in a previous episode of the podcast, and that was with Jesus says, I know that renting first-run movies wasn't the popular choice in the last Altered Geek. This new Scoob movie looks like it might be a straight buy for me, especially if this is a first step to a new modern Hanna-Barbera animated universe. I am so down. I am ready for one. This is what I've been waiting for since reading both Future Quest and Hanna-Barbera DC meetups. Give me new Johnny, Penelope, Blue Falcon, Birdman, everyone. And you know, looking at it, it does look spectacular. I am geeking out for that. And as I stated in the comments, I probably won't buy or rent movies again, and probably not going to see them in the theater either. I'll be waiting till these things hit streaming services to watch. But I agree, even the aesthetics look good here. But I don't think we're going to see traditional like movie theaters go the way that it was before.
Yeah.
Point in case, the Trolls movie world tour.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, may have just ruined the movie theater industry. And somebody replied and says, are they sure they meant to write the word ruined instead of liberated film from the stranglehold of? Maybe their hand slipped. And I like this comment that was written. It says, some of you missed it. Okay, so this movie was set to theaters exactly when all theaters were shut down for the quarantine. And rather than delay it, they took a chance at releasing it directly to home streaming from day one. The first time a major studio has ever done so. And yeah, the numbers can be chalked up heavily to families stuck at home with nothing to do, but they still weren't expecting it to make $100 million in just a couple weeks. Especially not when the whole family just has to pay for it once instead of a bunch of tickets. It was such a staggering success that it opened up discussion over whether movies actually need theaters anymore. Whether the profits are only being held back by how much time, energy, and money it takes for consumers to arrange a whole trip out to see a new release. And pretty much the only real conclusion being drawn is a resounding yes, and that should have been blatantly obvious. It had more studios rush to put things out for streaming, and they continue to be making more money than ever imagined. Even factoring in all that collective cabin fever, it also has the Academy Awards changing their rules this year to include non-theatrical releases for the first time. Trolls World Tour might go down as one of the most important, most industry-shattering works in cinematic history, albeit not necessary for its actual content, but nonetheless. And so my professor from college puts, the theaters will be in bad shape after this. The studios will buy them cheap now that the Justice Department said they can own them again, which hasn't been a thing since like the early days of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were kind of liberated in the 60s because there was all kinds of scandals and stuff going on and non-standardization and a lot of other stuff. And somebody else that goes to school there says, so we're going backwards in time where the studios own theaters. That's fun. It'll be a benefit to the studios. I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing. And my professor goes, they already said they could buy them out before this all happened. And so the person goes, but what kind of effect do you think it will have? And honestly, I think that we could end up seeing more of a monopoly with it. Being that they can own certain franchises and for certain theater chains, and the issue I see coming down the pipe is you're probably going to see less movies in the theaters, which is a good and a bad thing because a lot of movies don't get the time of day that they probably should because mm-hmm. there's a lot of these mega blockbusters out, but it also means that you're going to see a lot of the movies that they don't really want to take a chance at theatrically or going to get put on streaming immediately. But it also means that they can kind of double dip. So they can have the streaming in the theater and they can have it streaming on their streaming platform. And so no matter which way you want to do it, so like say I want to see the next Star Trek movie, whenever that happens to me, and I can't get to the theater, I can pay and rent it and see it at home legally the same day that I could go to the theater and see it. The only difference is if I can't physically make it to the theater and I need to watch it later in the evening, at night, the next day, whatever, it will be conducive to my time. That being said, I won't pay $20 to see a movie.
Okay. Like I said last time, I will not pay $20 to rent a film. I'll pay $2.99, $3.99, whatever it is, or I'll just wait. If I want to own something for $20, I want to own it. And yes, I know you're going to come up with the argument of you don't really own it, blah, blah, as long as it's on the service. Right, right, right. Absolutely. But again, for me, I have been for the longest time now since I have a fully functioning smartphone. I've been using Vudu. And that's where I purchase stuff from. If I'm purchasing, I don't have money to purchase a lot of stuff. But like if I wanted to do Scoob, right now in Vudu, it's rent in 9 days. I can pre-order it for $25. I'm not going to, but I could.
True.
Now Vudu has for their video options, they have standard def, which, whatever. They have HDX and they have Ultra HD. They're all the same price. I am not going to spend $25 on a standard definition film. I'll spend $25 on a HDX or UHD. That's fine. I have no problem with that. And again, it's in my library if I want to watch it. There's also, like with a number of other streaming services, take Tubi or Pluto TV or whatever, you know, they have free options that you can watch with ads. So does Vudu. Vudu has plenty of, like right now, if I so wanted to, I could watch Good Morning Vietnam free with ads on this service. Or if I wanted to rent it or buy it, I could rent it for $4 or buy it for $17.99. For me, I will always most likely, because I don't have any money anyway half the time, if it's free, I'll watch a couple ads. I don't care. Whatever. But if I have the money to buy it and have it in my library, I will do that. I am not renting films on any service, streaming service, whatever. I'm not doing it for $20 for price of admission to a movie theater. No. I'm just not. That's just not. No.
No, and I agree with you. I do, because I won't do that either. So I wonder how this is going to play out with the theater chains when they get back to actually releasing movies. Yeah, I'm not really sure where that's going to go. But it's also kind of having a trickle-down effect with other things. There was an article on InsideTheMagic.net. It says Disney Plus shuts down Disney channels around the globe. So Disney Channel, Disney Junior. But it kind of makes sense because on most cable packages, Disney is an added perk for a higher tier of cable. So if they really want to make it more accessible, the best way that they could do it is put everything on their streaming platform. Because for $4 to, you know, $7 or whatever it costs for Disney Plus, you get their library, and that is key. Now, they've shut it down in places like New Zealand, Italy, Germany, Australia, UK, and a lot of others, and it doesn't say in the US yet. But I have a feeling that this COVID thing is going to be the major downfall of cable, and is going to be the incremental boost that streaming needed to cement itself and solidify it. Because honestly, you know, they have Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic, you know, Disney content. But then you add, you know, their entire library of content and, you know, and have it all available, you know, Disney Channel, Disney Junior stuff, you know, like their old backlog of, you know, the Suite Life, you know, the Lizzie McGuire, the Wizards of Waverly Place, like a lot of the old shows that are on there. It's going to get people to sign up quicker.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Quicker than what would have happened before.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I think that that's going to be like the nail in the coffin for some of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Between Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, Netflix, and Hulu, they all have various things that I want to watch. We pay for Amazon Prime because of shipping and all of that and everything else. Luckily, Prime Video comes included with that because that's just the way it is. But, you know, I mean, TV shows for me, just off the top of my head, looking at my Hulu, like I said, Lethal Weapon, Numbers, Resilient Isles. I know you're probably not a musical fan, and I'm really not either most of the time, but Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist from NBC is really, really good. It's very, very interesting. You know, Seinfeld's on Hulu. Dharma and Greg's on Hulu. You know, you switch over to Netflix, like I already mentioned in this episode, The Blacklist, NCIS. You know, you still have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You still, all three Back to the Future movies are on Netflix right now. You got The Flash, Arrow, all the CW stuff is on there. Hell, Mortal Kombat is on there. The first Despicable Me, Star Trek Next Generation, so you can watch it ad-free or without ads completely. The Matrix movies are on here. The Bad Boys 1 and 2 movies are on here. Solo is on here. There's tons of stuff. Like, anyone that says there's nothing on Netflix, you're not really looking at Netflix then. Because,
well, I use Netflix primarily for my Star Trek shows. Despite the fact that it's on every streaming platform, they literally have all the old archives, not Discovery or Picard, but the original series, TNG, DS9, Voyager, and Enterprise are all on Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime, and CBS All Access. So no matter what way you go, you can watch any of them.
Exactly.
So what you do is when you want to, you know, download multiple episodes and they only let you download up to like 11 or 12, you use each one of them and you download all the episodes you want to watch and then you just binge them offline, whatever you still feel inclined to do so.
Exactly. All right. So we were talking earlier about, you know, how we're not usually, both of us really aren't usually into like really starting up new shows kind of things. Some of these originals to some of these places, whether it's Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu, some of them, even though they may not last very long, they at least are interesting premises. Netflix has one that I'm wanting to really watch with Karen at some point. It's called You. It stars Penn Badgley of Gossip Girl fame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically from the point of view of the stalker. I think I mentioned this to you a couple episodes ago when I mentioned the old CBS series that only got one season called Stalker, where it was like, hey, this is how you know, stop a stalker. Or this is this. Well, this is from the point of view of the stalker. And I thought that was really interesting. I have not watched it yet. I've heard nothing but good things about it, though. Recently, someone pointed out to me a new series on Amazon Prime called Upload. Now, right now, there's only one season. I believe it's 12 episodes. Could be wrong, but 12 episodes. I think it, yeah, it is. No, 10 episodes, sorry. All right, premise for Upload. In 2033, people can be uploaded into virtual reality hotels run by six tech firms. Cash-strapped Nora lives in Brooklyn and works customer service for the luxurious Lakeview Digital Afterlife. When LA party boy slash coder Nathan's self-driving car crashes, his high-maintenance girlfriend uploads him permanently into Nora's VR world. Upload is created by Greg Daniels from The Office. I saw the trailer to this, and it looks really interesting.
It sounds a little bit interesting. I'm not sure if it's something that I would get into, but it sounds interesting. Yeah.
But again, at least, again, following the online streaming model of either 8 or 10 or 13 episodes versus 22 episode, like, you know, don't get me wrong, of The Blacklist. In the middle of season 1, episode 17, I'm like, are we to the end yet? Because 22 episodes in 3 days is a little much. But I don't know. I just think there's something out there for everybody, whether it's old TV that they haven't watched before or if it's something new like Upload or Like You from Netflix. I don't know.
I can see that. So I think that's about run its course.
Yep.
So how can the good people find you online?
I guess Twitter, at TFU and Mike.
They can find me on the Twitter as well, at SCP21.
Yes.
Yes. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.